Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the country that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS, beaming us into your communities across our beautiful and deadly continent. Thank you for joining us on the program. On the program with me this morning, I will be joined by Marbuck Speedy. He is the nephew of Clinton, one of the children that was murdered in the early 1990s, who we heard the court hearing last week was rejected, the bid to try the man over the murder of three young Aboriginal children in Barrowville, a small community in northern New South Wales. I'll also be joined on the program by Greens MP New South Wales parliamentarian, David Shoebridge, having a yarn about the support he's been giving the family and also the community over the years. And then we'll be joined by Gavin Walker, who is also related to the family, related to Colleen, in particular, one of the children that was murdered in this sad case. So, yeah, last Thursday, New South Wales, the court rejected the bid to try this man for a third time. But yarning with the family, I done a pre-record interview with Marbuck this morning, and also hearing the family talk last week on various different media outlets and online social media, it was made evident and clear that this is not the end of their fight for justice for these young three children, the families, and also the community down there in Barrowville. It's something that, you know, shook the nation, you could say, last week, you know, because it's something to be expected, sadly, you know, when it comes to First Nations peoples' issues and also the justice that we would want to see. So you are tuning into Let's Talk, and throughout the program I will be yarning with different guests, family members of the children, and also Greens, New South Wales parliamentarian, David Shoebridge. So at the moment, I'm going to play my interview I did this morning with Marbuck, the nephew of Clinton, one of the children. You are listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. Just before we start, brother, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
My name's Marbuck Giro. I'm Camilla Roy. I'm from Barrowville, but all mobs from up Tenerfield Way. I'm Speedy Mob in Cherbourg, though.
Thank you for joining us on the program this morning. Very emotional topic that we're going to have a yarn about. Just want to commend and congratulate yourself and the rest of the family that stood in the courthouse last week in Sydney, knowing that the decision that was handed down was a decision that, you know, was in the back of your minds as well. So I just want to commend the strength of the family for the last almost 30 years, you know, for continuing this fight. And then also in your interview, I believe it was on one of the major stations, you said, you know, you're ready to stand up and continue that fight. So, yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the program this morning. Just for our listeners, last week, the New South Wales Court and the family of the Barrowville children that was murdered had a sitting, and they were waiting a decision for a retrial on the murder of three Aboriginal children in the early 1990s. Last week, we heard the decision was turned down, no retrial as of yet. There's been lots of support from different peoples in and around New South Wales and also around the country. Of the people I'll be speaking with later on in the program is Greens member and New South Wales parliamentarian, David Shoebridge, but at the moment we have Marbuck. Marbuck, brother, for our listeners, what is your connection to the young three children?
Well, Clinton Speedy Duro was my uncle. I never had a chance to meet my uncle, but we always grew up being told stories about him and, you know, the kind of person and the stuff that he was. And, you know, it was sort of the life of the party. So we always grew up feeling as though, you know, we sort of knew this person.
There was, you know, your uncle and then also two young women, First Nations women as well, that lost their lives. Last week in Sydney, was the decision that was turned down, was that something that you expected for the judge and the courtroom to sort of come to that decision?
Well, you know, we try and keep as positive as we can, but it's hard to keep that positive mind state when the same system that's not the knocked us back multiple times before. We've still got to have faith in these same fellas, but we've just got to, I suppose, do the right thing by the law and try and do everything that way. Like, and that's just what we've been trying to do. But it's hard to continue to fight a battle with someone who you feel is pushing against you.
And that is what happens, you know, over the last almost 30 years. You know, we had the first trial in the, was it the late 90s, and then also the mid-2000s, around 2006. And then this would have been the third crack at it, but then you got the overturn. In one of the interviews that I saw online, you know, you speaking very strongly, and also the family, you know, one of the main things that I got from that is just because the New South Wales judges turned down this decision for a retrial, one of the main things that came across when hearing from all of you was that this is not the end. One thing that you said was, you know, like, these old fellas have been fighting for 27 to 30 years. You know, now it's, you know, our turn or your turn as young fellas to step up and, you know, continue the fight for the family. So is this sort of something that you're getting ready to get into? I guess, yeah, seeing this your whole life as well?
Yeah, and like, it's not only me. I wouldn't say it's directly me, but, you know, we've sort of inspired a couple of other young fellas. From what I know, that two young brothers, Charlie and Levi from Centerfield, are stepping up and they're going to play a big role in the protest over in Centerfield on Thursday.
Deadly.
That's made me very proud. See the young fellas standing up, and, you know, we're going to show these fellas that it's, you know, it's not just going to die out, this fight. It's going to be here for as long as it needs to be.
And at the beginning of our interview, you said, you know, like, you never grew up knowing your uncle personally, but you knew him through the stories. So I guess growing up, you know, you'd have been in and out of, you know, these court hearings or, you know, around these family discussions. What was it like growing up knowing that, you know, this is sort of a legacy that is a part of you now, and then you're getting ready to sort of, you know, get involved with other family members and community members now? Like, what was it like growing up hearing these discussions? Sort of, obviously, it would have been emotional.
Yeah, it was, but like I say, you got to take the positives from it and seeing the resilience and the strength, not only from my family, but from the other families in Barrieville and the community of Barrieville, it's truly inspiring. And, yeah, we need to take that and run with it. I really think we do, like, that strength and resilience that we have. And that just sort of instilled it within my mind that it doesn't matter how much wrong they want to do us over, we got to keep fighting for whatever's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, well, now, where to was for the family, it was in the Supreme Court, I believe, and then now it's, you know, from watching the interviews, yourselves and the aunties that I saw on TV were saying, you know, this is not the end, you know, we're going to still continue to push and bang on this door.
Yeah, definitely not. You know, like we've said before, we just keep moving forward. But after our latest knockback, with, I think it's 28 days to apply for High Court. To apply for the High Court appeal.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you'd like to say to our listeners that are tuning in, or is there a way that we and the listeners can sort of follow what's going on down your way as well? And then also, this Thursday is a pretty important date as well, you've mentioned.
So I'd just like to say to everyone out there, thanks for the support. And there'll be a protest. There's three protests, one in Sydney, one in Tenterfield, one in Barrville on the 20th of this month, this Thursday, 10 o'clock. They're all starting. Be there, show your support.
Careful when you walk through this land, because a child was born here, and a child was born there. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Stains with blood and water, they come from the mothers for the son, and it orders, and it orders. On a mountain, in the valley down below, across the open plain. The rivers and desert and the rainforest so green, I can see nativity picker up in the ashes by the billabong where she was born, so that she will return.
This is Beau Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning, and you're joining me back here on Let's Talk. I'm your host, Beau Spearham. The first half or part of this program this morning, I was yarning with Marbuck, Speedy, Juro, a young First Nations man from Barrowville and the nephew of one of the young people that was murdered almost 30 years ago. On the line with me at the moment, I am speaking with David Shoebridge, New South Wales Greens member and also a member of the New South Wales Parliament. Good morning, David, and thanks for joining us on the program.
Yeah, no worries, bud. No worries. My pleasure.
And, yeah, I gave you a bit of a brief intro, like you're part of the New South Wales Parliament with the Greens. How did you get involved or what's your involvement, I guess, in supporting the families of Barrowville?
I've got the justice portfolio for the Greens in New South Wales, and pretty soon after I got elected, I came to Parliament about 2010. I can't recall now if it's 2011 or 2012. I first got a call from some of the Barrowville families, and they asked me to come and speak at a protest for having out the front of Parliament. Mm-hmm. And I knew a little bit about the Barrowville murders, but not all that much. So I looked into it and went down and met with the families and spoke at the protest and said I'd do what I can to support them getting justice. And at the time, there was almost nobody out the front of Parliament. Other MP was standing with them. There was almost no media. They felt very isolated. They'd been battling. They felt, you know, a pretty lonely battle for, at that stage, over two and a bit decades. And I promised to work with them, and we worked with them, and we got some broader media attention, and they, through their work, built a sort of broader community in support of them, and they kept coming back year after year out the front of Parliament, and the rallies kept getting bigger, the interest kept getting bigger, and then eventually I managed to persuade my parliamentary colleagues to have a parliamentary inquiry into the Barrowville murders. Mm-hmm. And we only did that because, again, the families turned out the front of Parliament to protest and shame them to do it. And that parliamentary inquiry kicked off in 2014, reported in 2015, and said, you know, the families have suffered so much, and what they desperately need is a shot at justice and a shot at getting the three murders tried together. And, you know, that was pretty emotional, the whole journey with them all.
Definitely it would have been. And last Thursday, the court rejected the bid for, to retrial. But that was just for two of the murders, not for all three?
Yeah, so after the parliamentary inquiry, we tried to get the laws of double jeopardy changed in New South Wales to sort of fix what is a legal technicality.
And what is that as well?
It's very hard to get a retrial.
And just for our listeners, what is double jeopardy?
So double jeopardy is a rule that says that if the state has brought a criminal prosecution against somebody and that person beats the charge, they get acquitted by a jury or a judge, that the state can't have a second go at it at a later point. And the idea is to stop a government with all its resources just constantly prosecuting somebody time after time after time after time until they get a win. You know, there's very good reason for that rule, but in the United Kingdom and in other parts of the world with similar legal structures to us, they've changed the rules. And they've said, well, look, if there was evidence that's come to light after that initial trial and it's compelling, you know, and it would help get a conviction, it's likely to help get a conviction. Or if there was evidence at the trial but you couldn't put it in front of the judge because the rules were such that you couldn't put the evidence in front of the judge at the time of the earlier trial, but now you can, well, then you can make an application to a court and seek to have a retrial, even if there's been an acquittal. And, you know, that's been running in the UK now for well over a decade and produced, a dozen to 20 cases where people who have done pretty brutal, awful crimes, murder, rape, violence against children, they have finally been brought to justice and prosecuted and put in jail. We wanted the same kind of laws to apply in New South Wales, particularly that rule about if they had evidence at the time, but they couldn't put it in front of a judge, but now they can, we want to be able to use that evidence in Barrowville. So what happened in Barrowville was the prosecution initially wanted to prosecute two of the murders together because there's lots of similarities between what happened in the two murders. That's the murder for little Evelyn and the murder of Clinton. And at the time, in the mid-1990s, the court said, no, you can't have the two tried together because the evidence in the two is a little bit different. And because it's a little bit different, you can't try the two together in the one trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way we approach that kind of evidence has changed fundamentally in the 20 years since. And now I think everybody agrees you could get the evidence into the one trial. That's important because if you have, you know, a pattern of behaviour, the same person in the same place doing the same thing time after time after time, well, then that is often the kind of evidence that is likely to be relied upon by a jury to convict and say, well, it's more likely you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Clinton's case, the case for Clinton's murder ran in 1996,
mm-hmm.
And there was just the evidence in Clinton's murder, and there was an acquittal. And then the trial for Evelyn's murder ran about a decade later in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there was just the evidence in Evelyn's case, and there was another acquittal. And there hasn't been a prosecution yet for the for the murder of Colleen. And Colleen's body hasn't been found, and that makes that murder a harder prosecution to run. But if all what the family and what the police say is if all three were run together and you had the cumulative evidence from the three, you know, similar circumstances tying the same person to the murder three times over, that's when you have a case that is likely to lead to conviction, and that's what we're trying to do. But in order to do that, we need to be given, the families need to be given a second shot at having a conviction for Clinton and Evelyn where there's been an acquittal, because the rule of double jeopardy doesn't let them. And that's what they applied to the Court of Criminal Appeal for,
mm-hmm.
and that's what the Court of Criminal Appeal said no to last week.
And
they said no to on the basis of a legal point, not on a review of the evidence. A legal point killed it.
And how do you sort of change that? You know, like yeah, how do you get around that double jeopardy?
Well, if we'd had the same laws that apply in the UK here, well, then it's much, much more likely that the Court of Criminal Appeal would have allowed the conviction, would have allowed a retrial, not a conviction, but a retrial on all the evidence. And so what we need to do is we need to change the laws here to make them mirror those in the United Kingdom, which produce just outcomes. And in fact, ours have a whole bunch of additional checks and balances that the United Kingdom laws don't have. And so we can do that. And in fact, I've got some legislation that I'll be seeking to move today to do exactly that, to change the laws here so they match the United Kingdom laws, and to allow a second shot at an application in the Court of Criminal Appeal. I'll be giving notice of that law today and seeking to get that adopted before the end of the year. That doesn't guarantee that the Court of Criminal Appeal would approve an order at a later point, but it definitely gives the families a much, much stronger shot at getting justice.
Definitely. And like that was one of the things that was apparent after the court hearing, at the front, yourself and the family as well, and Marbach, when I spoke to him earlier this morning on the program, was saying that, you know, this isn't the end of the road, you know, and especially the interview that Marbach did, I thought was, you know, very, very strong. You know, he said, you know, the family's been coming here for 27 years, you know, it's very tiring, but, you know, it's not going to, you know, kick us back. Yeah, we're not going to stop, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's I mean, you know, how can I stop if they won't? You know, I tried to change the law in 2015, 2016, and you know, I'd had a lot of emotional commitments from members of parliament from the other political parties during the parliamentary inquiry. But when I tried to fix the law to make our laws mirror those in the UK, they all just sort of melted away. I mean, I did get some support from the other crossbench members in the upper house and my Greens colleagues, but the support that I was looking for from Labor and the coalition just melted away, and we didn't fix the law in 2015, 2016 as we should have, and that meant the Court of Criminal Appeal were deciding the case on a pretty broken set of laws that made it extremely hard for the families to get justice. Well, I think we can fix that, and we can allow them to have another go, and you know, and that's what I'd be hoping to do. I can't tell you, even if we fix the laws, that the Court of Criminal Appeal would agree to a retrial. I mean, it's a matter for them. It's complex evidence stuff. It's not for a politician to decide these things, but it is for a politician to make a fair set of rules so the families have a fair shot at justice.
Definitely to push that that envelope or that narrative as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully that, you know, goes well, and you know, there is some muscle. That was like sort of something I wanted to ask as well. How was the support, you know, from everybody else from inside the
parliament? Well, I think things have moved on since 2015, 2016. 2015, 2016 was a different set of principles, I think, floating around. There was a growing sense of this injustice that had happened in Bowraville. But since then, we've seen much broader support for dealing with cold case murders and realising that even if a murder was a decade, two decades, three decades ago, that sense of grief and loss and injustice remains in the family members, and we have an obligation to do what we can, whether the murder was 10 years ago, 2 months ago, or three decades ago. And so that's changed. And I've got to say that the general sense and community support for First Nations peoples, the solidarity that the rest of the community is showing with Aboriginal people in New South Wales, has grown spectacularly in the last four years. And those two things together, I think, leave us in a much better position now than we were in 2015, 2016. And I add to that that we've got an Attorney General who I think is more open to it and is a much more, I've got a lot more confidence in his capacity to drive this issue through than the previous attorney. So we'll wait and see that. Politics is politics. This is a hard road we're going down, and you know we've come a cropper before. I don't want to give families false hope again. I will do everything we can, but it's still subject to politics. But
definitely, and I know you have to run off because you have a meeting. Just in wrapping up, I guess, is there anything else that you'd like to finish off on? Let our listeners know. Anyway, I guess.
I would just urge your listeners to, if they can, if anyone's in New South Wales, there's going to be a protest out the front of Parliament on Thursday of this week a rally in support of the bill and protest in support of the Bowraville families. If you can, 10 o'clock out the front of New South Wales Parliament, come to that. If you can't come to that, get online. Find some of those extraordinary people from the families who are representing the families. And there's a bunch of them. You know, there's Marbuck doing great work. Mm-hmm. There is Gavin Walker and others doing great work. But the families, get on board, get online and support the families, show them you care.
Definitely.
Talk to your friends, talk to your colleagues, because, well, the injustice that we see in Bowraville is an injustice I see across the board for Aboriginal people, First Nations people. They get the rough end of the stick at both ends of the criminal justice system, and that's Bowraville is, you know, one step along a much, much longer path to try and make the criminal justice system fair for First Nations people.
Definitely, it definitely is. Big thanks for joining us on the program this morning, bro. David. And also good luck with, pushing it in Parliament again to change the laws around double jeopardy.
Okay, cheers. Thanks again, bye.
Yep, bye-bye. And you've been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. My guest just then was David Shoebridge, New South Wales member in the Parliament for the Greens, and has been heavily supporting the Bowraville families in regards to the death of three young Aboriginal children in the early 1990s. We're going to head to a quick song break, and then hopefully I will be speaking with Gavin Walker, one of the other family members of the Bowraville children. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
Joking, well, I sat up near the group that played. The sound was loud and tinny. Here I was, mama's dark-haired boy. I was her brown-eyed, big and tinny. And this joint was fine. It blew my mind. I just got down to grooving. Then I looked around to see this man who said, "Hey, boy, get moving." Brown's to brown, and if you're white, he said it's alright, and if you're black, you get back into the shadow. Well, I got up, I left the scene, I tell you, I was dreaming, cause still in all, there was no call for him to say you're leaving, and when I got
it still on my mind? Is it still on my mind? Is it still on my mind?
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on Let's Talk. I'm your host, Bo Spearham, and on the program this morning, I've been yarning with Marbuck, Speedy from Barraville, also David Shoebridge, New South Wales member, Greens member, and also in the Parliament. Marbuck is the nephew of Clinton Speedy, one of the young people that was murdered almost over 30 years ago now. But on the radio with me and joining me from Sydney is Gavin Walker. How you going, Gavin, brother?
Yeah, going good, bro. How you going?
You're not too bad, not too bad. Just before we start, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
I go under my dad's name, so Gavin Stanbrook, and I'm from Gulbenga country up in mid-north coast there. So originally from Barra, but Gulbenga stretches pretty much from, say, south of Grafton, just to the border of Kempsey there. So, that's my hometown.
Is Barra the mission, or like just a smaller sort of town at the back of Nambucca and in Gulbenga country as well?
Yeah, so Barra's a bit inland, so not too far, about 15 minutes in from Nambucca, about 10 minutes from Maxwell there.
Yeah.
The town is quite small, but I think the majority is white, but there is a large Aboriginal community that lives on the Mish, and then there's a few black fellows live in town, but... the mission, the classic situation where, the government's put them on the outskirts of town. Barra's kind of your classic, government reserve in that respect, given its history and those kind of things. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just for our listeners as well, what is the connection that you have with the Barraville murders and also the case that's been rejected as of last Thursday in the High Court in New South Wales?
So I'm Colleen Walker's first cousin. I grew up that way up home. I spent a significant amount of time as a teenager up there. And get to know all my family and that. And so I've had this connection with Colleen through the family, through Aunty Mooney, through her sisters and through her brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually born in 93, so I never got to meet Colleen myself, because she was murdered in 1990. But my involvement kind of stepped up a bit more, I would say, around 2016, when I helped out with a protest that we had organised down that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was when we were trying to get the case to be pushed forward by the Attorney General's office to be assessed by a Court of Criminal Appeal, which I think was the process that we've just gone through.
And I guess the result isn't a result that is wanted. But, from watching some of the interviews, this is what I said to David earlier, from watching Marbuck and some of the Arnies speak to some of the media, it's not over, and you know, like as they say, you know, the fight continues. And I guess that's sort of where yourself and somebody like Marbuck sort of comes in to sort of support, but then also take lead, I guess, in this fight for justice.
Yeah, definitely. Part of it is just like, you know, I mean, I can't speak for Marbuck, but I definitely know that he grew up around his family organising and fighting in a similar way to myself. So we've had this experience as younger people within our communities, seeing our parents and seeing our aunties and uncles, you know, getting out there and doing what needed to be done in order to, you know, get justice, to get hurt, those kind of things. And now we're in a phase now where the courts have just, like, you know, completely just battered the crap out of our family in multiple ways, whether it be the denying of court hit cases and denying of hearings, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then when we do get, you know, the kind of stepped up, or the, you know, the doors kind of cracked open for us a bit, it's then slammed in our face. So, you know, our families have been fighting for that long, for the last 28 years, and this is the treatment that they've had to endure. So I think younger people like myself, and Marbuck's is a bit younger than me, but, like, I think it's kind of, you know, we're active in our own spaces, and kind of just like, you know, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to jump in. Someone's got to try and get people, get the families fired up and try and bring a bit of life back into this. And not to say that it's deflated in any way, but it's just true that the whole process has had an impact on our families.
Definitely a big year. Sorry.
No, you go. You're right,
man. And I was just going to, yeah, just saying, like, definitely a big toll within the family, you know, 28 years of, you know, knocking on the door.
Yeah, exactly. And that does have an impact. And so it just, you can't turn that around straight away, but, you know, like, you can do what you can. And I think that's what me and Marbuck and a lot of other mob around the country, around, you know, around New South Wales are trying to do. Just just looking at this situation that we've been given and saying, well, we need to fight. You know, we've seen our parents and our aunties and uncles fight. Well, that's what we need to do as well, because that's what works. You know, the government has only ever made concessions to our family when there was pressure on them.
So definitely you've got to put more and more pressure back on them. Yeah, like Marbuck mentioned the same thing that you mentioned earlier in the interview, that he never, you know, grew up or got to know his uncle because of that. But he said, you know, hearing these stories and, you know, continuing to follow the, you know, the elders in the family, continue this fight, like he sort of said, he had a sense of understanding of who this person, who his uncle was. Do you sort of feel the same with Colleen, like not obviously meeting her physically, but then also, you know, having the stories and, I guess, you know, the energy from the family when they express, you know, what kind of person she was?
Yeah, definitely. It you know, like, I've never met Colleen, but I do feel like she is just as much a part of me as what her brothers and sisters are, because, you know, our kind of immediate family, in our family, particularly the Walkers, we're quite close, like really close. You know how it is, you know, you see your first cousins as your brother and sisters and all those kind of things. And I think the kind of the community that has been built within our immediate family because of the activism, because of the organizing, you know, because we all had to stand strong together, that kind of stuff. I think it very much kind of cemented Colleen in my life as someone who I would relate to in the same way that I would her sisters.
Yeah,
and it's because of that. It's because of the unity and the strength of my aunties and my mum and, you know, those kind of things through all of this. But also it's because of the stories that we hear. You know, like when we sit down and we're thinking about, you know, we might be at a certain leg of the case and all the families are sitting down, they're talking about, you know, what, you know, they're talking about what it was like in the 90s. They're talking about what Colleen was like, you know, talking about how she loved going down to Sawtelle Creek. Like, you know, all of these stories that we hear because of the case itself. And so that brings humanity to Colleen as a person.
Mm.
And it gives her an identity that I'm able to connect with. And it's different for everyone, I could imagine. But, yeah, it has been something that has made me feel closer to her, even though I never got to meet her.
Mm-hmm. And I guess like from now, you know, the High Court decision, you know, was rejected. Where to is it now, you know, for the families, but then also there's some protest as well planned this Thursday. So, yeah, just give us there's about two questions there, where to now and having out about the protest coming up as well.
Yeah, well, my thing is I am quite cynical when it comes to the government doing things at the friendly request of our families. I don't think that they will ever make the significant changes that we need unless we're organised and unless we're active and unless we're actually demanding it from them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, change in this country has only come for Aboriginal people when we've been organised and when we've been on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that applies to, you know, social housing, healthcare, education, just as much as it applies to the legal sector.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law isn't unbiased. The law isn't neutral. You know, you think about the laws that they used to justify the establishment of the Australian colonies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the law is very much political, and it still is today. And so I think that a strategy to win, a strategy to actually get justice for our families, needs to have that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my thoughts. As I said, I don't have the kind of, you know, I can't speak for the other families, nor can I speak for everyone in my family. My thinking is that, you know, if we actually want to get this over the edge by organising an activist campaign to push for the legislative change that David Shoebridge is going to be putting through, then I think I think there's a space there for a chance, because the reality is the inquiry that just happened in the last 2 years that we had explicitly said the government, you know, this was their own inquiry, it said the government needs to change those laws, change the aspects of the double jeopardy laws that are holding this thing up. So their own inquiry said it, you know what I mean? You know, their own system has said, actually, this isn't going to be a problem if you change this legislation. So what we're saying is we need justice. That's how, you know, this is an avenue for it. And we can mobilise around that. Whether that's, you know, whether it's going to happen on Thursday or whether it's going to happen in the next 8 months, I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say is that, you know, we've got to fight like hell for it, because that's the only way that our campaign has moved forward over the last 28 years. And I think that's the only way it's going to continue to move forward from this point.
Definitely. And you do have some rallies coming up this Thursday in Tenterfield, in Sydney, and also in Barrowville. Could you tell us a little bit about those rallies?
Yeah, so I guess Thursday was a massive slap in the face to the family, and everyone, you know, it was a bit disorienting. It was a bit like, you know, where do we go from here? What's happening? And, you know, I just saw that there's an outlet here for people to come together and to actually show a united, strong, defiant, and resilient community that includes all the families. And so, you know, I'm an activist, so the first thing I thought was, we got to protest. You know, this is a riot. Blackwell has been getting the short end of the stick for the last 240 years. You can't accept that now. And so we basically, organised this protest, and it's gotten a brilliant response. We've had people from all around New South Wales messaging myself and some of the other family there about how they can help.
Deadly.
And because of that, we've got it on Thursday at 10 a.m. outside Parliament House in Sydney, and that's the one that we want everyone within the Sydney area to come to.
Mm-hmm.
But because all the families just came down literally last week, we decided to put on rallies in the kind of key spaces where
families,
those mobs are, so that they could come together and they could participate in it. So we've got another one at Tenorfield at Bruxner Park at 10 a.m. and then we've got one in Barrowville at 10 a.m. as well. The location's still to be confirmed, but we can update that. And, the idea is that we want people to come together, join our families, and stand in protest. And then also, we thought of this idea that people who aren't going to be at the rallies but who are supportive, and, they might live in WA, South Australia, Queensland kind of thing, can participate by taking a photo with a poster that says hashtag justice for Barrowville, and chucking that up on Twitter or Facebook or Tumblr or all of them. It just helps spread the word a bit. That's kind of what we're looking at this coming Thursday.
Yeah, deadly. Hopefully to our listeners out there that are tuning in, because we get beamed down into Sydney as well, hopefully yous are listening, or hopefully yous are already aware of the rally that is coming up Thursday, 10 o'clock at Parliament House. But then also, if there's any mob in Brisbane that are listening, I think on the weekend when there was a meeting, some mob was organising one. If not, we'll update the mob up in Brizzy anyways about the rally that we should have in solidarity with the families as well. I guess outside of the rallies and stuff, how can people support the families? How can people sort of support this movement to push it? To give it that ripple effect to maybe change the Double Jeopardy decision, or to sort of show true solidarity with yourself and the rest of the families.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is to get involved with the rally on Thursday. So think about ways that you can do that. Firstly, if you're in the Coffs Coast, for example, on the Coffs Coast, Barrowville isn't kind of centre, but if you live in Kempsey, Grafton, even Lismore, it's take a day trip, carpool, get a bunch of people down there because, we need as much support as we can get. And the same goes for Tenorfield. If you live around the kind of local regional area there, see if you can get in there, see if you can come down and support the families as well for Sydney. So if there's any mob out Blacktown, I'm out that way. It would be brilliant if people could come in. And then there's the thing of what I was saying before about the hashtag, getting that out. It is just the case that having public support and pressure in a very public way does matter. And if we link that with everything that's happening in the courts, in the parliament, and then the protests that are happening on the street, it does create a kind of buzz that the media cannot ignore, and that, can give a sense of, we've got a bit of strength in this, we've got numbers on our side kind of thing. And then the last thing I would say is for every one of those three categories of people that I just said, is to get organised, is to think about ways in which you can engage further, not only with this campaign, but with other campaigns in your area.
Mm.
One of the most helpful things for me since kind of liaising with family in the different communities that are having those rallies is that there have been people who have been saying, I want to help, I want to, do something. And, they've been able to help in different ways, whether it be printing posters, organising carpools from their local, area or whatever. Maintaining those connections, maintaining that organising capacity, because the reality is that we're going to have to keep fighting, I can't say that I'm completely 100% confident that things are going to move forward this particular Thursday. Mm. But I am confident that if we fight, we can win. And in that kind of dynamic, organisational capacity is important. Having people in networks across, you know, different areas of New South Wales and even across the country is really important. Because, you know, when we get out again, and I'm confident that we will, you know, we want to be able to snap into action and activate those connections, get those people back on board, and start swinging things into action. Because, you know, that's how you build a movement. If you're able to build organizational capacity in the urban centers, but also in the regional where people want to help, that, you know, that's how you can stimulate movement on this issue. So I think that's the other way people can help out, is get organized.
Yes.
You know, suss out what's going on in Brisbane when you guys do the solidarity action, those kind of things. You know, there's going to be events happening everywhere in the coming weeks, not just related to the Barrowville case. So, you know, I think that's one of the most important things.
Yep, deadly. I just want to say a big thanks as well, brother, for joining us on the program this morning. Now it's been a very emotional last few days, and also just draining, you know, working with the families, but then also heading, you know, the whole court thing, and then, you know, being, I guess, the face of everything that's, you know, on media and on the news and stuff. You know, it's what I said to Marbach this morning, you know, up here at the station, we congratulate, you know, the strength and the resilience that EMOB have to continue to fight for the last 28 years. So I want to say a big thank you for that, and give our support anytime you mob down that way and need it.
I really appreciate that, but seriously, it does help having people, you know, from other different areas of the country who are aware of this, especially, you know, people with a background like yourself, activist-oriented, you know, those kind of things. I think it's important. So, yeah, I really appreciate it.
Now, that's all good. That's all good. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. If you've enjoyed the program, you can catch the repeat on 98.9fm.com.au and follow the links to the podcasts. And you have been listening to Let's Talk.